In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. Great Lent is called the springtime of the church because it's the season of new beginnings, the season of new birth. And how does this new birth occur? It begins with repentance, that conscious and free-willed act of metanoia, a free-willed conscious act to turn one's back to Christ, to God, and letting God again be the ruler of your heart. When the church talks about all these passions and trying to subdue them and control them, the passions are simply all these little children, unruly mob of children running around everywhere in our souls and our minds. And they distract us and turn us away from the kingdom. And so this season of Lent, the season of the springtime, is a time to clean out, to reorder the house within, so that God is again the ruler of your heart. So all the fasting, all the prayer, all the almsgiving we're doing have this one main objective: allowing the Lord to be the ruler of my life. And so that's why really during the week the most important event is the Liturgy of the Pre-Sanctified, because all the fasting that we're doing from sin and food and everything else is all making room to receive in a deeper way God himself. And how does that happen on earth? There's no greater communion with God on earth than in the Eucharist. The psalmist prays, one thing matters in life, to live in the house of God. There's one thing you walk away with today, and as we go into a great and holy week, remember those words. There's one thing we should be seeking in our life, to walk, to live in the house of God. And on this fifth Sunday of Great Lent, the end of the journey fast approaches. And the church sets before all of us two great models of repentance. First, we have the witness of the life of St. Mary of Egypt. And then second, the great canon of St. Andrew of Crete, also called the Canon of Repentance. And if you're following the calendar and to read the bulletin, this past Thursday, it's the fifth Thursday of Great Lent, the church always focuses on the life of St. Mary of Egypt and prays the entire Great Canon of St. Andrew. All of it is about repentance. So it's really kind of a culmination of what we've been doing for all the season of Lent, right before now we come into this last week, when the church's attention now will begin to turn. If you watch, if you're reading, if you have the Orologian, if you have the special prayers, by Tuesday we're already looking at going to Bethany with our Lord to be with him as he raises Lazarus from the dead. So the church is now. So this last Thursday was really the last time the church really put this emphasis on repentance. And every year, the church, for I don't know how many centuries, has read the remarkable life written by St. Sophronius on this woman called Mary of Egypt. And it's interlaced with the canon of St. Andrew of Crete. Now, who was St. Mary of Egypt? She was a woman who loved sin. She indulged in sin. Now, some people will erroneously call her a prostitute. She wasn't a prostitute. She was not seeking a business transaction with her male clients. She's very clear. She lived this life because she loved to indulge in sin. She never did it for any money. She immersed herself in the life of the passions. However, when she heard about this event happening in Jerusalem, about the cross, she was living in Egypt, she got on the boat, and she looked forward to getting on this boat because she said, there's going to be all these sailors on there. There's going to be plenty of temptation for me, plenty of opportunity just to indulge in my passions. And then she arrives in Jerusalem, and it's the feast of the cross. And so she's curious. She wants to enter the church where everybody else is going to see this cross. She goes up to the doorway and she's thrown back by some force. She gets up and she tries to go in and again, and she's thrown back again. Happens about four times. And finally she's sitting in the courtyard. And she looks up and she sees an icon of the Theotokos. And then she realizes why she could not enter the church. Because she was immersed in her life of passions, disordered loves, a life of sin. And that moment before Our Lady, she said, I will commit to changing my life. That's repentance. Not thinking about it, she actually said, I'm going to change, it's an act. I'm going to change my life. And then she went back up to the church, Church of the Holy Spirit, and Church of the Resurrection, and she was able to walk in, and there was the cross, the precious and life-giving cross. In great vespers last night, the church sang these words, having first distanced yourself from the weight of the passions by contemplating God, O Mary of Egypt, you then directed your desires and deeds to that which is on high. Gazing at the icon of the all-pure Virgin and resolutely renouncing all sin, you confidently went to worship the precious cross. Note how the events happened. She first had to make the act of conversion and renounce sin in her heart. And only then was she able to walk in and see and touch the life-giving cross. This is the example par excellence the church gives to you and me, sets before you and me on the cusp of Great and Holy Week. Have you made this renunciation of sin? This is the example par excellence the church is giving to you and me as we come now, as we're coming to the end of Great Lent. Have you truly renounced in your life sin? And have you truly made the turn back to Christ? Possibly looking at the face of Mary. That's why the church yesterday prayed the Akathist hymn that we prayed on the property in Colleyville. We turn to her, and by turning to her, then we turn to Christ. That's the place you and I ought to be in this spiritual springtime now called Lent. Having renounced a life of being immersed in the passions, we're now ready to enter into Great and Holy Week, to worship with devotion, to worship with sincerity, to worship with authenticity, the precious and life-giving cross. And accompanying this short biography by St. Sophronius on this remarkable holy woman's life is one of the greatest canons ever composed. It's called the Canon of St. Andrew of Crete, or the Canon of Repentance. It is of such remarkable stature that the church has dedicated 5 days in the great season of Lent to pray this canon. We prayed the first 4 nights of Great Lent in sections, 4 sections. And then on the Thursday Repentance, the church then does the entire canon. Who was St. Andrew of Crete? He was born in Syria. He's a son of the Antiochian church. He was born in the 7th century and passed into eternity, eternal life in the 8th century. The church recognizes him as one of our greatest saints, one of the greatest theologians, and one of our greatest hymnographers. And while he composed a whole number of canons about Our Lady, about Christ, about our feast days, None of them equal the stature of the canon of repentance. That particular canon that we prayed on Thursday night, well, we couldn't, but possibly when we cancel you, so I know some people prayed it at home, hopefully you did, even in a portion of it. This canon is the greatest summation of repentance. And when the church calls her faithful to do it together in the church, that's the church giving her a stamp saying, this is the prayer. It summarizes so well and explains so well the very life of St. Mary of Egypt. She's the living model of what that prayer prays. You pray the canon of repentance, I'll guarantee, because I've seen it happen in my own life as I did. This is my third year to do it. It is so piercing and is filled with heartfelt lamentation. I will guarantee you a tear will come to your eye if you really praise this canon. That's St. Andrew. How does he open this canon? The very first words. And when you read it, you have to understand, this is St. Andrew speaking to his own soul. So when you're praying it, you're speaking to your own soul. And he said these words, he opens the prayer with these words, quote, "O Christ," that's where he finds himself, "O Christ, where shall I begin to mourn my deeds of wretched life? Where shall I start this mourning?" That's the moment. That's how repentance begins. You begin to weep for your sins. You begin to weep for your sins. I'm not who I'm supposed to be. Why? Because my sins harm a relationship, the relationship with love himself. And my sins wound my heart. They crush my heart. And if you read his canon, he's not only lamenting for his own soul, but he laments for all of humankind and all the sins that humankind commit against God and one another. And then the canon recounts so beautifully, so poetically, every act and every transgression committed against God, beginning with Adam and going all the way to the last page of the New Testament, recounting them not as past events and recollections. No. If you read it carefully, this saint sees all those sins from Adam all the way up to the last sin committed to anybody, some in the New Testament, they are his sins. Quote, "In my transgression, I have rivaled Adam, the first formed man. Because of my sins, I find myself stripped, naked of God." End of quote. Yes, we can condemn Adam, but every time you and I sin, we too are wearing fig leaves that simply wither. And then he goes on and writes these words, quote, "Instead of visible Eve, I have the Eve of mind, the passionate thoughts in my flesh, which shows me what is apparently sweet." Yes, Eve saw the fruit and it was delightful. Isn't that what we do every time we sin? It looks apparently good, but it's really not. In O2, St. Andrew writes these words, recalling the two great murderers of the Old Testament, Cain and Lamech. Quote, "To whom shall I compare you, O my soul, and its many sins? Alas, to Cain and Lamech. You, my soul, stoned your body to death with your evil deeds, and have killed your spirit with your inordinate passions. End of quote. At the cusp of great and Holy Week, to the heart these words pierce. Tonight, tomorrow, Tuesday, take the canon. You can find it in your public and prayer book. You can find it online. And meditate on these words. Meditate on the canon. Where do we begin? Quote, St. Andrew tells us, where shall I begin my lamentation for the deeds of my wretched life? In your divine compassion, O Christ, grant me your forgiveness. See what he does? He recalls his wretched life, he recalls his sins, and he begins then with divine compassion. To what purpose? Quote, come, O wretched soul, come and confess to your Creator and refrain from all wickedness and offer to God tears of repentance. End of quote. And why? He tells us in the Ode 4, quote, the end draws near, soul. The end is drawing near. Yet you don't even prepare. And you don't even care. Time grows short, O soul, and the judge draws near. Remember, soul, the time of life passes swiftly as a flower. Why then do you trouble with vanities of vanities? And then the only prayer at the end of the day, as the canon tells us, we find in Ode 3, quote, you, Lord, you are the good shepherd. Seek me, find me. This little lamb has gone astray, but may you forget me not. Christ is among us.